We've been in a time where our nation and our world wants us only to think about ourselves. How am I going to survive? How am I going to get through this? You know what? The Bible says, cast your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. So you certainly can do that. But don't let that be the only prayer you're praying, right? Can I get an amen? Like, yeah, Lord, here's what I need. But Lord, help me to look around. And how do you want me and what you've done in my life, how do you want me to move and become an answer for someone else? And that's what we're going to talk about today in this second week of focusing on missions. We hear missions and we think, yeah, I love those full-time missionaries who are someplace in the world I can't even pronounce. Like, that's what we think of. It's like, no, 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 no. All of us, these guys over here at their age and everyone else, we're all on mission. We all have a purpose and a calling. And I love Mike and Susie, who even decided, you know, after kids, it's like, man, we need to take this step. That's not just for a certain age. That's for us. And all of us have to have that. We have to be willing to say yes to where God wants to grow us and move us to. And so in our church, our vision statement is what you see on the screen. We see a church with mobilized members who love helping others follow Jesus together. God's speaking and healing and taking care of us. And then we're turning around and saying, how can we help? How does my life and what I've been through and how God built me, how does that turn into helping somebody else? Because God so loved the world, not only did he send his son, but he sent the body of Christ, which is you and I, to help this world out. Now, this is great, and we tend to, in church, and you're going to hear something, we tend to hear people who are doing all these amazing things and think, I am such a fan. You know, I'm a big fan. And like, yeah, let's encourage one another and applaud one another, but don't just settle for being a spectator, right? You're not just a fan. You've got something to do. You've got something to do that one day, when you look back at your life, where, you know, from here to another time, you may be like, man, God, thank you. Thank you for letting me be part of that. That was crazy good. And we can never lose that. But what we can do is we can be in a part of life that is very confusing, and we think that's where we're going to stay. Between my current confusion and my kingdom calling is God's loving process. Anybody finish the process in the room? Anybody here who's all complete and done? No? Okay, there's a shocker, right? We're all in process. We're working it out as we keep going. And we've got to remember that when we hit painful times and when we hit confusing times and we were so sure it was going to look like this and it had been like this for years and why isn't it looking that way now? We need to remember that God's got us in a process to continue to help us to become what he wants to become. And if I could just say it as simple as possible, because Ephesians 2:10 says it, like, you were created to do good works for God that should help other people know him. And don't settle for someone else doing it. Most people are like, well, it's you know, I'm finished. My life's, I'm confused. Maybe I failed. I'm done. Don't you believe that. But I might submit to you that it's actually part of a larger process in your life. And what you feel like is God forgetting about you or giving up on you or like maybe he doesn't care is maybe part of the process of him calling you to great things. So I want us to see that together. Now, next Sunday begins the Advent season. Advent, when we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, what we celebrate as Christmas, there's no greater example of one person who seemed disqualified and unimportant, and why did God choose them, than Mary, the mother of Jesus. I mean, last time I checked, that was a pretty big job, okay, being the mother of the Savior of the world. Now, most of us know that she was a teenager when she got the news that she was supposed to be the mother of the Messiah. So she wasn't some like just finished my PhD and get, no, she was just a teenage girl in a village of Nazareth, like 200 people total in the place. Like not an important place, doesn't seem like an important person. And yet God says, I'm calling you. And that calling becomes a process. Now we can kind of when we're in the middle of Christmas, just kind of put on rose-colored glasses and think just big, glamorous thoughts about Mary. And she's worthy of a lot of honor. But we need to recognize it's because of the faith she lived out, because she was someone who is a model of what it is to believe God to do in your life what you could never believe for. That's who she is. So we're going to look at, I'm going to call them five steps. I do not mean to imply that you just do it and go to the next and the next. I mean, we're never done in any of these areas. But we're just going to talk about, just real quick, five little moments of Mary's life and like, hey, this is part of the process of becoming what God wants you to become, of being mobilized for the kingdom of God. So the first is this. We're going to have a moment when you really surrender to God. That's the beauty of water baptism. Lord, I give my life. I surrender your way. Now, a lot of people have a counterfeit to this, and it's called religion. Okay? Religion, like, I need to do things because God's probably mad at me, and I should do a few good things to even out the scale so he'll do good things for me. That's, no. A real moment of meeting with God, a real moment of hearing that God has a purpose for you and hearing his word. Mary is encountered by the angel who says that she's going to give birth to the Son of God. It's way too big. There's no way God could, there's no way it could be right. And she receives this word, and I love her word. She says, I am the Lord's servant. I'm not the Lord's master. I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said, I surrender. And so we want to make sure that our faith is not about religious ritual, but it's about real relationship. And let me ask you the question. When's the last time somehow God just stopped you and said something to you that was way more than you were expecting? If you haven't had that in a while, maybe today, just, God, what do you want to tell me that I'm not even thinking about? He'll be faithful to answer it. Number two, here's our favorite time, right? We all love this one. Anybody want to sign up for a double portion of this one? Time of testing. Yes, Lord, I'm super excited. You're going to use my life. Now, by the way, God, I've written a few notes of how I want it to happen. What's that quote? Fastest way to make God laugh is to do what? Tell him your plans, right? Because God loves us right where we are, but his plans are going to have to require us to be transformed into something we've never been before. So here's the interesting thing. We have a very real moment with God, and then we run into problems. And someone's like, well, what happened? I thought knowing God was supposed to make all life better. It is making your life better, but it is also undoing your counterfeit life. Because a lot of your relationships, a lot of your identity, a lot of your patterns were built on counterfeit. And now that you've surrendered to the Lord said, okay, let's begin the process. Here, Mary says yes. The angel says you're going to be blessed. And what's one of the first things that happens to Mary? Her fiancé says, oh, you're pregnant? Let's put you away. Like, shouldn't Mary be like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm willing to say yes, and this is what I get because I've said yes. It's like, yeah, there's a time of testing and really deepening that surrender and understanding surrender in places you didn't know you had to surrender. This is part of the process of doing great things for God. Step number three, learning to love in family. We tend to be like, I want to go change the world. And God's like, change the way you're acting at home. Right? Like, I love the whole world. I want to give myself to the whole world. Give yourself to your kids. Spend more time with them. It's like, what? 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 But I've got big things to do for God. And God's like, I've got the big thing covered. You take care of the small things. Right? We've got to learn to love well. The Bible says love never fails, and you and I are never going to succeed until we learn to love well. So what we've got to do is understand that our closest relationships are there places where we have to have the most faith and obedience? Our closest relationships are where we have to have the most faith and obedience. Joseph wakes up, an angel says, no, 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 that's of the Lord. And I love this because it's from his point of view. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Like, Are we going to have, like, what was Mary thinking? Like, excuse me, now you want me to be your wife? Like, you just told me no, and now yes? Like, and like, I could picture some conflict going on there. But here's Mary who's saying, no, this is God's plan, and I'm going to love him, and we're going to learn to be a husband and wife, and we're going to follow God's plan together. So I want to encourage you. A lot of times we talk about big plans, about doing things all over the place. It starts in our home. Can someone say a big amen to that? All right, that's part of the process. Step four, unrecognized preparations. Another things that are important for your calling in life that you don't realize are important. I love it when Mary meets Elizabeth, and we'll talk about that in a second. She ends up quoting, was it 1 Samuel 2? I mean, she's like, she's a teenage girl. I mean, teenage girls in the Jewish society were not like super encouraged to study or read or anything like that, but she has done some things in her life. She knows the Word of God, and that is something that might have not seemed important in the past, but now as she's encountering God and trying to understand what God is doing in her life, she's got the Word of God in her. And you and I, when God calls us to great things, we tend to miss being faithful in the small things. We tend to see parts of like, you know, I just want to preach the Word, or I want to go serve those people. Why am I still in this job? The answer, because there's something about that job that needs to get you ready for what you're doing. You just don't recognize it. One of my mentors, Dr. Bob Roden, always said, every ministry's got its monster. And if you don't know how to handle the monster, you're not going to be very long in the ministry. So here I am praying for you and trying to read the Word. And you know what else I have to do as a pastor? I've got to learn to write emails, communicate well, and manage my schedule, and lead a meeting the right way, and understand social media. Like, that's all monster stuff to me. That's not my passion. But that's part of ministry. And a lot of us, man, you know, what does Scripture say? Zeal without knowledge isn't good. Like, zeal's good, but there are things you need to do to be able to steward and take care of God's ministry. And they're just things that are part of the package. We all want to be up front and say the big inspiring thing, and it's like, God's saying, no, you got to kind of serve and kind of recognize that there are things that you don't see as important, but they're going to be important for what you have to do one day. Some of you in your profession right now, like you also, you know, have a passion for something else. Man, what you're doing in your profession, look for how God's preparing you. It's important. And then the last one, serving another's vision. I mean, God gives Mary this impossible call. And what does the angel do? Say, hey, there's someone who's a few months ahead of you in the same miraculous process that you're in. Why don't you go learn from her? Go serve her, and you will learn how to do what you're called to do. And so I want to tell you, that's what we do. That's why we serve at church. I tell you what, one of the things, people like so passionate for God, and they're like, what should I do to change the world? I said, serve in the kids' ministry, be a greeter, help with the ushering, AV team like that. I was like, okay, you just don't want me to speak? Like right now? I'm like, no. Discover that really doing something for the Lord is a week in and week out process. That's not always so inspiring. Some days you don't feel like doing it. That's part of growing the strength to handle the weight of what God has for you in the future. So these are all part of the process. And so what I want to do with the rest of our time is I want to invite up four people from our church who are mobilized members, that they represent to me. I'm very like blessed and see their life, how they have chosen, and they are in the middle of international or local ministry. And I just want you to hear from them a little bit about how this process is like, yeah, welcome to it. And then maybe you, in some of what you feel like is not that important, or you're kind of like, God, I thought I said yes to you. Why am I here? Maybe God will speak to you today about that. So if you would, welcome up with me Maria, Margo, Doug, and Laura. Would you, ladies and gentlemen, come on up. Let's welcome them. There we go. Come on up, everybody. Welcome, welcome. That's good. So we're going to take just 1 minute for them to talk about what they're doing. And if you want to know more about it, afterwards, feel free to ask. They're not going to give you the full rundown. They're just going to show you where their life and ministry is at. Maria, you want to go first? It's on.
It's on?
Yep.
All right. It says they are my nation.
Oh, your battery.
In the
barn is dying. There you go. Clorox that one, and if someone wants to replace these batteries.
All right. It says they're my mission, but it's actually Cornerstone mission. And what I've been doing here and what I feel God called us to do here at Cornerstone is to provide a church where families with two languages can congregate. What I mean is that we have a lot of family that the parents speak Spanish. That's the native language. And then the kids, their native language is English. That's the way they learn and they can relate. We want to provide the option of having your kids learn about God in their native language. Because if you go to a Spanish-speaking church, then they're hearing about God, but they're not connecting, truly connecting, because it is not their native language. So. Yeah, pretty much so, that's my mission,
there you go.
Our mission here at Cornerstone.
So Maria is the head of Hispanic ministry here, and our vision is not to have a separate Spanish church, but for all of us to be together, just like the day of Pentecost, just like Revelation 7:9, and to raise up a generation that is used to being together. Because they're together in school, they're together at Walmart, they're together on the soccer field or whatever. The church should be the place where we are the model of how different languages come together. And so Maria is in charge of that. The place she serves is right here. You drove here today, so you know where it is. And Maria, just how can they connect and pray for the Hispanic ministry and what it takes to bring us all together?
Yeah, definitely pray for humility. It takes a lot of humility for a parent to come here. You know, we offer all we can here at Cornerstone. We translate the service. We have monthly Spanish services. We have Spanish-speaking groups, so they feel comfortable, so they know this is also their home. But you need humility to come and put yourself in that position, you know?
Right.
And for this English-speaking community as well, you know, pray for humility to say, hey, come, this is your home as well. The way that God has put it to me is this is kind of like a marriage. There are things that the Spanish community needs to learn from the English-speaking community and vice versa. You know, and together we all going to learn to speak Christ, definitely.
Amen. It's good. It's really good. Praise the Lord. And just real quick, Maria, you've studied ministry and intercultural dynamics, and that's how you're doing this, right?
I was just a heart.
Okay, just to check so people understood. Okay, let's go on to Miss Margo.
Thank you. I am the founding director of Lydia House International, which I only started last year. So I praise God for how far he's brought it in a year. And I'm partnering with local Christian leaders in Liberia. They are Liberian. We are raising money to build a women and girls home there for women and girls that are coming out of exploitation and human trafficking and poverty. And it's just been an incredible ride trying to get this off the ground. And God has blessed us so much. This whole thing came out of actually one short-term mission trip that I was invited to go on in 2016. And that was the first time I had gone on one since I had had kids, because they were so small I couldn't leave them. And that was the first time I was able to go. And out of that one trip, God brought up this partnership and formed this partnership between me and these local Liberian leaders to bring this vision for empowering women and girls in Liberia to fruition. So, yeah, the next slide. Liberia is just a small country in West Africa, but in this year, World Population Review ranked it the poorest country in the world. And they do struggle with a lot of social difficulties, and women suffer unduly there. Sexual assault is at an all-time high there. But on the other hand, they are really open to empowering women and raising them up, and we really have an opportunity to make an incredible difference by the power of the Lord there, and our leaders are really led by the Holy Spirit. And that's me with Owen in that picture. That's okay.
Where was Owen?
Me standing on the future site of Lydia House, which will be our residential women's home. And it's out in the jungle, not in the city, like you see out there, with one of the local leaders there. And so to support us, I forgot to say this in the first service, but we are planning, Cornerstone is planning to host a missions trip to Liberia. It's for men and women. We are going to be ministering to girls and women there, but also to the boys and men in the community. We pray that God will bring that to pass no matter what happens in the next year. So please just pray for the women and girls of Liberia. And for our Liberian partners and the building site and the project as it moves forward, and for the Lord to just bring in the rest of the funding. We have begun building right now. We're just doing it as we move along. It's so exciting that this happened so quickly. And, of course, you can give either through the Christmas offering or on our website there, or you can even text to give at 44321.
So good. Amen. Doug, tell us about Project Hope.
Okay.
And Doug's the president of Project Hope.
I'm the president of Project Hope, and Project Hope is our goal here in the States is to raise funds for Project Hope to go forward. And Project Hope is a health clinic, an orphan sponsorship, primary education, and economic development through microfinance. It's many faceted, but it has one goal here in the U.S., and that's to fund everything, so that it can go forward and do God's work. Mm-hmm. The place where we serve, Gedna Tesfa, Ethiopia, is a pretty poor area. Average income is around $2 a day. That country has seen an inflation rate of about 20%. So buying power of that $2 is now down to $160. So poverty is well known there. Our clinic there at the bottom of the picture, we're moving toward becoming the highest level clinic. We needed a pharmacist. We have achieved funding for a pharmacist, so we will be, our next step is a hospital. Mm-hmm. And that's a biggie to make that step. That will mean that our funding will have to increase even more. Yeah.
So this year, Project Hope celebrated 25,000 patient visits, over $500,000 invested. And what was your first career, Doug? What did you do before you did this? What was your career?
I was a mechanic.
You're a mechanic? And when's the first time you ever went to Ethiopia?
First time I went to Ethiopia was when I was 6 to 7 years old. So it's never too late.
Yeah, so good. I just wanted to make sure they understood all of the advanced study you did for this, right? But your business ownership meant a lot. I mean, we've used it a ton. And then just, Doug, how to connect and pray?
To help us in our progress toward the funding for the next year, be a part of the Cornerstone Giving. We are one of the recipients of that, along with some of the others. Mm-hmm. We are also sponsoring a trip next July 1st through the 11th to Ethiopia. It's projected at this point. We'll know more later. Mm-hmm. And you can always pray for us. Pray for us to be able to raise the funds to allow God to do his work with indigenous people in Ethiopia. All of it's done by them. We don't have any hand in it at all other than providing the funding.
Yeah, praise the Lord. So good. And then you have Miss Laura Burke, the president of Cornerstone Revitalization Center. That is, Project Hope is 7,365 miles away. How far away is CRC?
6 miles.
6 miles away. Okay,
So as you can see from this slide, our main passion at CRC is to love and serve children well. And in so doing that we reach them, but also we reach their entire families for the cause of Christ. Everything we do, we want it to be about Jesus and bringing people to the understanding that that Jesus has a plan for them, that Jesus has died for them, that he loves them, and that he meets them right where they are. And we do that through primarily through tutoring, through our Big Pal, Little Pal program, and also through loving on the moms and doing special things with them to facilitate relationships with them. Like they mentioned earlier, Joan Skelton put together a potato drop yesterday, so we loved and we served the community just by saying, Happy Thanksgiving, here are some potatoes from your neighbors at Cornerstone. So there's lots of ways that we want to do that. And there's a map of it, and you guys should all know where that is since it's so close, but you can see here as well pictures of some of the precious kids that we get to love on, and a picture of me with one of the mamas. We have the same name, she and I. She's Laura, and I'm Laura. Same names. So the relationships there have been just really sweet.
So good.
And then how you can get involved. Of course, the tutoring program, we have been so blessed this fall with lots of tutors, and it makes the program so much more powerful when we have one-on-one opportunities to read with the kids, to come alongside them and encourage them. I see Pam shaking her head. She's a faithful tutor that comes and loves on the kids. I know that's not an opportunity that some people can make use of because of scheduling. So right now, our big push is our Christmas store. We are looking for donations for toys and brand new gifts for children from toddlers all the way up through teenagers. And then what we do is we sell the gifts at 80% reduced price to parents so that they are providing for their children, for their families for Christmas. So we need you guys to help us buy gifts, blow up social media, you know, just telling people about this. If your workplace or you have a group that's looking for some way to serve and give this Christmas season, just put it out there because we really feel like this year with COVID affecting our community, that this is going to be an especially important year to have this service for the families.
That's so good.
Yeah, and of course, like they've said, prayer. Prayer is what absolutely brings supernatural things.
That's right. Amen. So, and Laura, where do your kids go to school?
Where do my kids go to school?
Yeah, where they go to school?
They go to Burke Academy for Gifted Children.
Okay, so your house.
My house. I'm home. Okay. I homeschool. I'm a homeschool mom.
So, and just taking care of the kids, taking care of God's kids, being a mom, taking care of moms, and your advanced training of community development comes from where?
Yeah, I have a degree in communications and missions, but never in my wildest dreams did I see doing something like this, running a nonprofit.
It's cool. So all of us have this kind of moment where God says to Mary, hey, I think I'm choosing you. And you're like, who are you talking to? Me? And it starts at every age, as students in school and for parents and grandparents. And so I just want us to talk a minute about, I just want each of you to answer this question, choose one of them. We talked about these five steps, about the real surrender, all of them. So which step has been the hardest for you? And or which step changed your life the most? And just talk a little bit from that sense of just like, hey, here I am, and God just was calling me to something way bigger than I understood. So Maria, do you want to go first?
Yeah. The steps, I have actually two. I share one in the first service, but I feel that somebody needs to hear the second one, which is like, trust God with our financial.
Mm. Trust God with money.
Definitely.
Yeah, there's a big one.
I was at a crossroad when he called me and where, you know, there was a promising career that I could pursue. Mm-hmm. And I choose to build treasure in heaven. Mm. And he have not failed us. Never. Yeah. Never. So if you're thinking, you know, I cannot do this because I need to work or I need to provide more, I invite you, choose Jesus. Mm-hmm. There's always winning with him. Definitely.
Amen.
Definitely. And another thing that helped me greatly is like when I hear mission, I hear commander-in-chief. Stay connected to your commander-in-chief. That is the key. That is what's going to make you succeed in anything that he sends you to do. Because it is his doing at the end of the day. It is his doing.
Amen. So good. Laura?
Yeah, so number one, definitely for me, the step of real surrender, which, like you said earlier, Pastor Sean, it's not a one and done, check it off the list. It's a continual, you know, choice to surrender and follow Jesus. But for me, I was absolutely just convinced that there was no way God could use me to lead CRC. And I had all my reasons of why I'm not good at this, I can't do this. And I just continued to sort of to share those with anyone who would listen, all the reasons why I wasn't the candidate for this role. And Pastor Sean was so patient, and so was the Holy Spirit, but so persistent. And so for me, finally realizing that God did not need my skill set. He really didn't. He needed my heart, and he needed my obedience, and he needed my yes. And I remember the day that I said, finally I said yes. Like, God, I can't understand how you're going to do this. I can't understand why you would pick me. And I'm saying yes because it's what I feel like I'm supposed to do. And as soon as I did, just the peace of Christ. And then the joy of knowing that I was partnering with the one who was going to make it happen. I wasn't going to make it happen. It's not my ministry. It's his. But that he chose me and he could empower me to do it.
So good. So good. Miss Margo?
Yeah. I remember that, Laura. I remember her texting me one day and saying, just pray for me. I'm not sure if I should do this. And I said, I don't need to pray about that. You're going to do that. We already know that. I'm just praying for you to say yes. And, yeah, I mean, I would just say that, you know, for me, like, at the time of testing, that period of time where you think, you know, you've heard from the Lord, you know you have a calling, you know that God is placing you in a certain direction or orienting you in a certain direction, or really you know who you are in the Lord, and then all of your circumstances go against that. And, you know, for me, I just felt called to the ministry, and I always wanted to go abroad. I always wanted to go back to Africa because I had gone there when I was a teenager. And that those were things from when I was a child, when I was in my early 20s. And that's just not the way my life fell out. And the Lord just had other things for me along the way. And you know, it wasn't until last year that Lydia House was formed, and in the last couple of years that I've been blessed to be able to preach and teach and share on a regular basis, but these are things that I wanted to do for decades. And so I would just say, like Doug said, it's never too late, and God is not late. He's doing something else that you can't see, so you just do have to trust that process, and even the things, I would say also the things that were the hardest for me to accept are the most valuable things that ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. At the time, they were the hardest to accept. And now, I couldn't ever think of being who I am now without those things
That's
in
right.
my life.
So good. So good. Great. Doug, how about you? Which was the hardest step for you or the one that changed you the most?
Number five was the hardest for me. I'm the type of person that I like to do things myself. I like to be in charge. But I couldn't. When I was in business for myself, part of the process was I had to sell things. And I didn't do well at that. So I had to surround myself with people that did that well. That's where it comes to, you know, serving others' visions. I don't do these things well. But God can provide what you need when you need it. And he has been faithful. Again, our purpose here in the States is to raise the funds so that in Ethiopia, the people can go forward and do what God is bidding them to do. I have no control over that. I don't like it, but that's the way it is.
Yeah.
God is in charge.
Yeah, that's right.
And he can do the impossible. Mother Teresa said some time ago, unless a life is lived for others, it is not worthwhile. Mm. Think about that. Mm. That's words that ring true over and over. It's not life for yourself. It's life so that you can bring something to someone else. And that's something, needs to be Christ.
So good. I'm going to ask the next question here in a minute, but I'm going to come back to you for 1 second, Doug. So what happened to you about 10 years ago? What, was it 10 years? How long ago did you have a small, 20 now?
20 years ago.
Yeah, so tell them that story.
20 years ago, I had a massive stroke. I couldn't walk, talk, reason, do anything. But God restored me. He rewired my brain. He allowed me to have abilities that I didn't think were possible.
The doctors didn't think were possible.
Yeah, the doctors said when I left the hospital, they didn't know if I would ever walk, talk, do anything, use my right hand. But the doctor said, and he was a Sikh doctor, but he was here in the States, and he said, there's always hope.
Yeah. Always hope. And I love it. Just a little context, too. So Project Hope is a Christian clinic in the middle of what used to be an all-Muslim village, 30 miles away from the fourth most holy city in all of Islam. That's not a place where, like, oh, yeah, that's going to work. In 8 years, we've seen 360 people decide to become Christians in an all-Muslim area. And I think it was that, like, hey, Doug, walk through a place that doesn't seem to have hope, and now look at some place where everybody says there's no hope and be like, yeah, that could change.
God's got this.
Yeah, and so I think we have to understand that. So it's like, did God forget about me? Why did he let me have a stroke? It's just, you know, all these things. It's like, well, God's using all things together for his good. Trust in him. He's going to be with you. And you didn't just settle for recovery. You settled for God helped me change the world. I just, someone needs to hear that today. So this last question, what would you say to the Christian who knows they have a call from God on their life but doesn't know what to do or doesn't feel qualified? They're in the middle of this process and they're just feeling confused about it or unsure about it. Maria, what would you tell them?
Well, I will tell them, trust God. In my experience, the crazier it sounds, the better it is. That's how I know it comes from the Lord.
Can you say that in Spanish for us?
En mi experiencia, mientras más loco suena, lo que Dios te ha mandado a hacer, mejor. Que no tenga sentido. Yes, definitely that has been my experience. People were like, why don't you do it separate, you know? That would have been so
it'll
easier for us. But that is not what the commander-in-chief was saying. He was saying, you're going to do this together. And trust the process and enjoy the wait. There's going to be a period of waiting. Enjoy the wait. One of my precious memories, like Margot said, is Winston and I giving a class in Spanish. Nobody's showing up. And I look at him and say, teach me the class. I adore that moment. Like, just enjoy the process. Trust God. Fight for it. Like, the enemy will try to take it away from you. But fight for it. Stay close to God, and you will see it fulfilled. Like, I saw mine this morning.
Today.
This morning, I saw it. Where 4 years ago, I never thought that Cornerstone will be having a bilingual worship service. So he is worthy, and he is faithful.
Amen. So good. Doug, what would you tell someone who is just not sure what God wants for them or where they're at?
Just know that, it's never too late to start the journey that God is calling you to. And you don't have to be equipped. God will do that. He will equip you whatever you need. He will make that way where there doesn't seem to be a way. The impossible is, every day to him. God has to have you available and has to have you willing to be a part of his plan. That's the biggest thing, the willingness to be a part of his plan.
Amen. So good. So good. Ms. Margo?
Yeah, I mean, I I just was thinking that, you know, I didn't talk about this in the first service, but talking about learning to love and family and going along with what Maria said, if you are in a part of your process, a part of your journey where you know this isn't what it looked like, this isn't what you know that you're called to do, but you can see that God has you somewhere else along the way, where we're all saying it's never too late and don't give up, but I would also say enjoy the place where you are now. Instead of fighting against it and pushing against it. When I was pushing against that, when I was much younger, I remember the Lord used to bring Psalm 32 to my mind where he says, don't be like the horse or mule that pushes against the bit and bridle. It has to be controlled with a bit and bridle. It was like he was saying to me, don't push back against what I'm doing because he's going to do it anyway. So you can push against it, or you can enjoy what you have. And for me, it was about just enjoying being with my children. My children also go to the Reese Quinn University of Learning. and I just enjoy spending time with my family and being with them for so many years when I didn't have any other thing on my plate. Now I'm actually like, I need some time back from to get them. But I would just say that, just enjoy where you are, because God has good things for you in every place along the way. No matter how difficult it is, there's always a gift, a reward, a joy, a treasure from the Lord at that phase.
So good. Mm-hmm. So good. Sarah, what would you say to everybody?
So in first service, as we were pondering this, the song from Tim McGraw, Live Like You Were Dying. I don't know if I'm allowed to say Tim McGraw on stage, but I just did. it's a country song from back in the, 10 or 15 years ago. But the whole idea is to live with that sense of purpose, like you don't have the next 100 years. And I think for me, what that does for me is it makes me more aware of not putting off what God has put on my heart to do and not saying, yeah, oh, I'll get around to it. But right now I've got my agenda. I've got my stuff. But to say, wait a second, what do I want to be thinking about when I'm just about to leave this world? Do I want to be saying, thank you, God, for the ways that you worked in me, the ways that you used me, the ways that you increased your kingdom through my life? Or am I going to be there thinking, wow, what regret I have that I lived it for myself and I kept putting off what I felt like God told me to do? So live like you're dying. Live like you only have a few months left or a few years left to do that thing which God has put in your heart to do.
Yeah, so, so good. Church family, this is who we are. This is what we want to do. Our stories are all different, and we're all at different stages and understandings. Healing's going on. Are all of you official saints yet? Are you still works in progress? Like, should I ask the spouses?
Yeah,
should
we ask our
spouses?
Families.
Do you want to, you know, it's like, man, we're all still works in progress. But I say sometimes the mission is the medicine. Sometimes the medicine we need in our life is the mission God calls us to. And they balance us out really well. And so my prayer for all of us online and in here is, hey, you know, I'd love for you to walk away saying, wow, it was a great service. But what I'd rather do is look at your life and say, wow, they are doing a great thing. You know? It's about what we're doing out there. It's about believing and then serving in here and coming together to encourage and give glory to God. But I just want to encourage you. You are not here by accident. And Cornerstone's not a place. We're not asking you to be a big fan of the staff. We're asking you, let us as a staff serve your call into growing into all that Jesus has for you. And that will be our joy. That will be what we'll celebrate. And can we say thank you to all of these wonderful people for none of them wanted to be on stage. They're doers. They're like, I mean, you know, obviously we know Margo is a great Bible teacher. And really, someday soon we got to hear Maria share too. She shares in a lot of different venues. Great word. I mean, just everybody up here. I know their preferences to, hey, someone else should be up here, but thank you for saying yes. And so my prayer is, as you're moving into Thanksgiving, like you're about to do Thanksgiving, one, don't forget this one as you move to Thanksgiving, right? I once had a counselor tell me, he said, Sean, if you ever want to know how true the healing in your life is, see how you handle being with your family at Thanksgiving. So, like, I think I made it all, and then it's like Thanksgiving. I'm like, oh, okay, that's not as quite as finished as I thought. So enjoy your family. let it be some unrecognized preparation in your life. And let's come into, let's finish 2020, praise the Lord, with the sense of, Lord, I am thankful that there's more for me to experience in you. And let's do it in every generation, as families, as singles, in the church, outside the church. Let's pray that the Lord does something great. So we're going to finish up in a word of prayer. And in that, obviously, if you've never really surrendered to Jesus, this is an important moment. You can be very inspired about these other things, but you've got to meet with him. And so if you've never, and that can't be your parents or your grandparents or your daughter's faith, that's got to be your faith. So I and Mike and Susie, I mean, thanks for just letting us as a church family share that moment. Yeah, let's just say thank you again to them. Mike and Susie both are just gifted professionals, and you got to stop them sometime, ask them about their adoption story and what. But I just love their hearts that they're just saying, man, we want more, you know? We just want to do what's next. And so thank you guys, man. We just love you, appreciate you, and thanks for living out that example in front of us. It's like, I want to really know them. I want to give. If you've not been water baptized, we like to do this. We like to have a testimony water baptism every week. You can sign up online or just find one and say, hey, I want to be baptized too. I want to take that next step. I want to kind of start moving towards where I need to go next. Please take that step. Let us do that with you because that'll be our joy. And as we do that together, though, make sure you've had that moment of, Lord, here's my life. Thanks for forgiving me of my sins. And begin in me a new life that is probably going to have some testing to it, because I'm just going to confess right now, I don't know how to do this. And God's like, I do. I got you. And then, Lord, help me learn to love. Yeah, you know. Most of us spend more time thinking about how other people should love us better instead of us saying, well, how can I love them better, right? And then look around in your life. God's working. And as been said, like where you're at, there's something good there. You might not recognize how God's preparing you, but I'm telling you what, God has not stopped being good to you, and his plan is right on course as long as you'll just say yes. And let's together, let's serve and help each other. Whether it's our panel up here, so many of you in the room right now, if you've not talked to Patricia Klinger, Patricia, just raise your hand real quick. She's got an incredible testimony and story of faith and love that's really amazing. You can talk to her. This is what we want to do, guys. We want to be about saying, Lord, the whole world says bad, 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 and we're saying we're going to overcome evil with good. That's what we're going to do because God is with us. So let's have that prayer. And I'll tell you what, if we could just, Maria, if you want to start us off in Spanish, and then Margo, if you don't mind wrapping us up. They're just going to finish this word of prayer. Let's bow our heads right now. If you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, of every age, of every storyline here, would you, in this moment, would you just humble your heart and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I want to know you. Come into my life and teach me who you are. Would you just pray that prayer right now? If you're praying that prayer, and I want to encourage you, you need to share someone with that. You need to tell somebody about that so you begin to build a Christ-centered relationship. We'll obviously be the first for you. If you're here and you're praying that prayer, today I'm asking Jesus to be Lord of my life. And I'm asking him to begin a new life that I don't really, you know, it's just the beginning, but I'm saying yes. If that's you, you want to just raise your hand right now so we can be praying with you. Yeah, praise the Lord. Anyone else? Yeah, praise the Lord. Anyone else? That's so good. Lord, we say yes together. Our decision, help us have relationships that walk with us. Help us be a church that's a family together. Thank you, Lord. Encourage you, if you raise that hand just after service, whether you want to see me or tell the person you're with, we've got a way to help you with that. Let's walk together. Maria, would you pray for us now that God's calling would be upon every person who's hearing this message today?
Amantísimo Padre Celestial, gracias, Señor, por este servicio. Padre, yo te presento a cada uno, Señor, de nosotros que estamos aquí, Padre, en la iglesia y en línea, Señor. Espíritu Santo de Dios, que seas tú movilizándolo. Que todos tenemos, Señor, un propósito, un llamado. Espíritu Santo, aviva. Tu palabra dice que tú pones el querer como el hacer. Señor, yo declaro esa palabra sobre cada uno de nosotros, sobre cada persona que vea este mensaje, Señor. Que seas tú, Padre, trabajando a través de nosotros, siendo nosotros tus manos, tus pies y tu boca aquí en la tierra, Señor, llegando al que necesita, Padre, exaltando tu nombre, dándote gloria, Padre, en el nombre de Jesús, yo te lo pido, amén.
Amen. Margo.
Thank you, Lord. There's an old hymn that says, all I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. Lord, I just pray right now for every person in this room and those watching as we go into this week of giving thanks and when we want to remember all the things in our lives that we have to give thanks to you for. I pray that you would make our eyes see that even the things in our life that feel broken are things that you are turning into something beautiful. And those are things that we can even give thanks for. Things that we didn't want. Things that we pushed back against. In Jesus' name, I pray that every person that is listening to this prayer, that you would open their eyes to see all that you're doing in their lives and the beauty and the reward and the everyday things that are part of their process right at this moment. And help them that even as we are straining forward toward the heavenly call that you have given us, that you've also given us joy in the moment that we're living right now. And for that, Lord, make us truly thankful. And Lord, we just give thanks to you for all that you have done and all you've brought us through, even in just this year. And we know that your plan still stands, that your calling for each person is still the same, and that the good works that you've prepared for us from beforehand to be our way of life is still the same. We thank you for your good plan, and we thank you for the beauty of what we experience every day in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.